call this regular meeting of Emmitsburg Town Council to order. Please stand for the national anthem. Okay, is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest on the public agenda? Okay, seeing none. That brings us to the minutes of the previous meeting, item four. Councilor Pryor.
Move adoption of minutes 4.2 and 4.1 and 4.2.
Second, Councilor Levine. Any corrections on the minutes? Okay, seeing none. All those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to delegations, 5.1. Emmanuel and Rebecca Blevoet.
Thank you for inviting us to council this evening. We're here to address something that we think is quite important, and and it's sometimes not an easy subject to sort of get your heads around, so I really appreciate the invitation. We're here representing Tactile Vision Graphics. We're a print-to-braille solutions company located in Windsor. We produce all kinds of different documents, take them from print and put them into braille, including braille pictures, so diagrams, maps, floor plans, all that sort of thing. We have a unique proprietary process that enables us to do that, and the amount of experience that we've got in this field means that we can incorporate this process into tactile graphics and braille production fairly seamlessly. We produce in any language, and we serve a global market. But because we're a small company, we can meet very tight deadlines and also keep up with customer demands in the industry. So, That's us. And our driving mission is that in an ideal world, equal access to information would be there for all, including vision impaired people. So what you have in front of you are some examples of the sorts of, in layman's language, braille pictures that we produce. Tactile map, there's a tactile map there, which is quite unique, really. One of the very few companies that can produce such things. Also, a chart showing, in this case, it was malaria frequency throughout the world. So that is just an example of the sorts of unique things. We've also got some examples of event tickets that are serialized and in Braille, and some other maps. An inn, if there's a conference or a convention happening in an inn, we've got an example of that up there too. Also, the periodic table of chemical elements, which is in full color. And when I was a kid, we couldn't, totally blind people weren't even offered chemistry in school because there was no way of teaching it accessibly. Well, now we've got an accessible table of elements, and that would certainly have gone a long way to Also, business cards, as you see, that the council is due. For my apologies to the gallery, we don't have quite enough for everybody. You know, the fact that you can put your business cards into Braille fairly inexpensively. Let me ask you this question. How many of you, when you think of accessibility, think of Braille? How many of you?
I was thinking first and foremost of the width of the door on access to wheelchair, audio loops.
So we're here to provide a slightly different perspective because, you know, as the population ages, more and more people will have a vision impairment, and it's a reality. But it's also a very underserved segment of the population, and it doesn't take much to provide 100%. I mean, 100% of information is better than no information, right? So having a Braille sign on a door, I think washroom signs are now ubiquitous in Braille. Most places have washroom signs, but think about office signs. We can produce that. There are standards for those. Agendas in Braille. I certainly couldn't see the PowerPoint up on the wall. Just a comment. They're not that difficult to produce. And if you know what you're doing, and we do. So I would like to know if anybody has any questions for us as you're looking at the materials up there. I know that's not generally how things are done at council, but I think you get talked at a fair bit, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
I'm curious, have any municipal governments picked up this technology?
Oh yes, we work with municipalities throughout the province doing different things. Maybe it's transit maps, maybe it's agendas, maybe it's stuff for, you know, sort of tourism, community and social housing, you know, different kinds of projects that we've been asked to do for municipalities. And it really depends.
Floor
plans and
that's actually, this one happens to be one of the closest we've made. It's actually the floor plan of Chinchak Museum in Windsor. University of Windsor, but things as far away as is it Winnipeg?
Winnipeg, yeah. University of Winnipeg and
the new museum a couple of years ago.
Yes, the Human Rights Museum in Winnipeg.
The Human Rights Museum in Winnipeg. The Ontario Museum, the Rome.
Well, he's asking about municipalities specifically, and I guess, you know, we've done transit routes and different things, depending on what's needed. It varies. Some require more, some require less.
Councilor Frayer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you again, Emmanuel and Rebecca. They came before us, just so council knows, through the Accessibility Committee. It was on our committee's suggestion to come to council and possibly see what, with the regulations coming forthcoming, and I think, Paulo, you were there at the time too, knowing that, like Rebecca said, how many people think of accessibility, building a new restaurant or a new building or putting in a, but do you actually put Braille close to the door so if somebody knows it's which washroom they're going into? Are we just worried about how big the door is? Libro Center has a few, I think, places that we did that, but I don't think we provide, and I think the committee wanted it to come back to council to figure out if, is there any other ways that we could use their expertise in Braille, so that way we might be able to reach out to somebody in our community that never had an ability to look at the agenda.
And the other thing, The other thing that I would just like to say is that vision impaired people, blind people, vision impaired people have gotten so used to being told, "Oh no, we don't have that," that they don't even ask. So you may not know who in your community is vision impaired. So thank you, Councillor.
Something like that, which is map of the world, where I can actually add any data a university or a municipality would need, template of the word, I've got it. If you need another set of data, if you want the polar areas instead of the malaria distribution in the world, because of the process we use, it's much faster than anything else we've we are very quick. It's been known like years ago, a user would have to wait 3, 4, 6 months. You can now have it within a week.
Well, it still happens that sometimes, depending on where you go, you have to wait 4 or 6 months. But we know of a company that can turn it around in 3 hours. Don't ask us to do that too often, but we can.
If you had the flow plan of your building, it's your building. I'm not going to, it's nobody else's building. But if you had a special event, or if you needed the escape route for fire evacuation purposes, and it's the law, and you've got somewhere in the building the fire evacuation on the wall, is it in gray?
Councilor Fuge.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My question is just a point of clarification to Councilor Fryer. Has the accessibility heard the presentation from
yes.
Emmanuel and Rebecca? And if so, did they make any recommendations?
They recommended that we come here.
Through you. The answer to the Councilor's question, so the presentation was done, like I mentioned earlier, was done to Accessibility Committee. The committee wanted to come back to Council and have Council look at the feasibility of putting in at least a trial basis and put it out to the community and the persons that would need Braille out there to see if there is anybody that could use this service and pick up the agenda from the town. And then also look at other areas of the town that maybe these people could, or is there a way that we could enhance our Braille to the doorways, to the washrooms, in areas that we don't have a new building, a lot of the buildings are older, and are we incorporating that? I think it's just another aspect of getting to that regulation date and making sure that we're one of the cutting edge. We've always been, this council has always been looking at ways to do things different than anybody else. And I think this group bringing this to us, it just allows us to add that one extra element to allow for a person with, and I hate to say it, with a disability, but a limitation, I would call it more than anything, is so they can read their agendas without having it read to them.
Mm-hmm.
They can actually go through and read the agenda and feel comfortable with that. So that's the, and when there's a time, I'll make a motion to the effect.
Okay, is there any other questions? Councilor Fryer.
Make a motion to receive the delegation this evening, and also that administration comes back to council with recommendations on the feasibility to include Braille or other means for the town in either the next agendas or in the future.
Second. Councilor Melage. Any further questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. And thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
Brings us to item 5.2, Tom and Susanna Simas. I believe the clerk mentioned the 5-minute timelines for the presentation.
Yes, and I would like to mention that we have Mr. Ken Blanchett as part of that delegation as well.
Okay.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak again tonight. We want to present a brief summary with the most important aspects of our presentation to you the last time we were here. We are speaking to oppose the proposed zoning bylaw amendment for 6136 concession 6 north, part of lot 2, concession 5. We moved to Amherstburg for peace and quiet. When we moved, we followed all the rules and bylaws. We built our home 2,000 feet away from the main road to ensure tranquility, silence, and privacy. We opposed the application as presented by Mr. Khalif and his team for the following reasons. Number one, the application is not accurate and did not reflect in any way, shape, and form the reality of what is already built on this property and what is already taking place. Number two, the proposed building by Mr. Khalif is not a minor variance. A 7,296 square feet building for dogs is not a minor variance. And when you think of building of that size, and you consider reducing the distance to the other dwellings, you have to consider that the dogs are not gonna be confined to the building. The dogs are gonna be outside, and he has already other small kennels that he plans to expand. So even if the distance was to be reduced, he would still be breaking the law because the dogs would be much closer to us when walking or when being taken care of. The application states that the proposed kennel would be a secondary activity to farming, which is not true. The proposed and spoken for land in this application is 23.85 acres, and there is not 1 inch of farming on that land, even though Mr. Khalifa has purchased the adjacent field, and he advertises in his website for 50 acres of dog kennel. He does not advertise for farming. So that was a false statement. The property is being used for kennel activities, but also boarding, breeding, grooming, food production, and sales of various dog products. And the problem with this is, number one, the zoning does not only not allow for the distance, but he does not have a commercial zone. So even he's running a kennel, which is not allowed because of the zoning, but he's also selling products, which would require a business license, and he does not have it, and he continues to operate the kennel since our previous meeting. Building allowing Mr. Khalifa to build this kennel would result in a dog compound of such magnitude that it would become industrial and commercial again. And as our planner showed to you in our report, and you have copies of that report available to you, this would characterize as industrial and commercial with that which that area is not zoned for. Even though the breeds of the dogs are not the number one thing in question here, because of the proximity that would bring these dogs to our property, it does become relevant because you are jeopardizing the safety of our children and the other children in the area. Mr. Khalifa is advertising for pit bulls and double X large bullies, among other dogs. And like I said, even though this is not the first concern and in question here for tonight, it is of relevance when you reduce the distance and you bring those dogs much closer to us. It is inconceivable that this would be passed this amendment to this bylaw, considering that there are no other laws in place for him to fall on. The only law in place is the distance. Amherstburg does not have a kennel bylaw to regulate his practices. And given the fact and the pattern of Mr. Khalifa breaking the law for 2 years, ignoring the answers from the planning office telling him that he needed to apply and get permits for what he was doing, putting structures without permits, running a kennel without a business license, given the pattern in his attitude, when you pass this, if you amend this to favor him, this will just become horrendously big and out of control. And it will open a precedent for other people to come to town, break the law, and then just ask for forgiveness. And because there is no law to regulate it, then this would become the law. It's and we have abided by the laws. All of us, the residents who are here, we have sent you a copy of signatures of people who are opposing this. It's not fair that we have abided by the laws and done everything we can to obey the law, and we are punished for doing so, and a person who does the opposite and has no regard and doesn't care is rewarded by the amendment of this bylaw. So tonight we are asking you that you deny this application. We are asking you that the 2012 dog bylaw is reviewed to put a maximum amount of dogs in the rural areas, because 24 dogs already is insane. Just this morning, I had to call the bylaw officer again, I haven't heard from him, to complain about the insane noise that we have to go through on a regular basis. And therefore, we ask you that you deny and that you represent us. Thank you. Do you have any questions for us, please?
Is there any questions? Councilor Kuja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have a motion prepared, but if you allow me, after the speakers are finished, I'll make that motion and then speak on it.
Thank you.
So much.
If I may, I only have one comment for time. I would like to point out that the signatures that were provided to council represent an overwhelming majority of the residents that reside on the 6th and around the kennel area. And we hope that the voice of the people that are around there are heard and well represented here at this council. Because we were asked for public consultation and we have provided to you an overwhelming response, and I think a very honest response, pointing out some of the other characters, the issues that we're compounding on this issue. So we hope that this is denied tonight and that we can actually go back to living in some peace and quiet in our area. Thank you.
Okay, since item 10.3 is related to this delegation, we might as well bring it forward as well and address both at the same time. Councilor Puja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move for the receipt of the delegation, and also that council does not support the zoning bylaw amendment to bylaw 1999-52 pertaining to the property.
Thank you. Second. Councillor Levine, any other questions or comments? Councillor Melosh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I indicated to the seniors and Mike, Mr. Melosh,
in your mic,
sorry, get closer. As I indicated to the residents, I felt that, like I told them, I'm not committing anything. I went to see their property. I totally understand, you know, where they're coming from, because there's a lot of issues on that property. You know, the dogs, the construction, the dust, the flooding of, you know, of the on the neighboring property because of the mounds of dirt that are being brought in. There's a number of issues. But I really, at the same time, wanted to give the applicant the opportunity to speak, you know, to have his say on the matter. Hear something tonight or not on the matter. Just to hear both sides. I guess that's all I really want to know. I want to see or hear.
Okay. Procedurally.
Make a motion?
No, we're in the middle of a motion.
We're in the middle of
a motion. We're in the middle of a motion, so I can't take any other motions unless this one is deferred or withdrawn or turned down. Councillor,
I'd like, if I could, I mean, I second the motion. We went through a solid hour of this at the last meeting. We heard from the planner, we heard from the lawyer, we heard from the applicant, we heard from all these residents. This is brought back to us because it wasn't dealt with properly to move it forward. There's a bylaw in place, and I'm apt to agree with the residents on this issue because, I mean, that's what the bylaw says to do. And as so I don't think I need to hear anymore. This will open up the avenue for this to move forward in any way. So I don't see the need to hear this rehashed over and over again at this point.
Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to reiterate what Councilor Levine has said. I was unfortunately not at the last meeting, so did not hear the presentations that were made. But gathering the information that's been presented, I too think that there is only one answer, and that is to approve Councilor Pouget's motion. We always tell everyone that we are representing the people and the wishes of the people. Well, the wishes of the people are that we do not approve this zoning amendment. And may I ask one question? I would like to go through you to Rebecca. Has the applicant continued to operate his business without a confirmed zoning bylaw amendment?
Time for you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes,
I
or
can't
no?
say for sure. I know that planning has advised the owner for a year to come in if it was his intention to have a kennel on the property. Whether he's operating the business, I can't confirm that. Bylaw enforcement may wish to provide further comments since they would have undertook the investigation, but planning doesn't do enforcement.
In order, Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's just that I want to point out to Council that the last time we heard from Mr. Khalifa, he told us very clearly that he just recently arrived from Dubai 2 years ago. He didn't understand our bylaws. Therefore, he built on the property illegally without permits. And after saying that, 1 week later, I received a complaint, and the building inspector went out and found that Mr. Khalifa he was operating a crane. He brought in a big generator, and he housed it in a building, again, without a permit. And then he goes on Heart Radio, AM 800, and he gives information that officials find no issues with Amherstburg Dog Kennel despite neighbor concerns. So with your permission, Mayor DiCarlo, I would like to direct my questioning to Angelo, our chief building official. So Angelo, thank you. I talked to you about this, asked you if this was correct, that Mr. Khalifa went on AM 800 Heart Radio, and his headlines were, officials find no issues with Amherstburg dog kennel despite neighbor concerns. In your opinion, was he giving factual information to the press?
I don't believe so, but I did go through with him what had to be done as far as the building put on the site to obtain permits. And so forth. So he was in agreement to get that done, and as far as he went with it.
And as of today, how many permits has he received for all the buildings that he built in the last 2 years?
He's submitted about 5 permits for accessory uses.
And how many has he obtained?
He's applied for them. They have not been issued.
And further to that, I'm not sure if Kim Burney is still here, but through you, Mr. Mayor, to IRFA, Kim Burney,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Burney, I understood there were some concerns from IRFA. Has he abided by your concerns regarding this property and the fact that the Simis complained about flooding and the berms that were built?
Through you, Your Worship, we are actively investigating with your building department and planning department and attempting to resolve many outstanding issues. The issues of drainage, though, are outside of our regulated area, and the issues of earthworks and bermworks on those properties, cutting off surface flow, there's a need for
that's a result of the situation that we were unaware that all this building had taken place on this property. And whether because permits had not been issued, did we lose any revenue, tax revenue as a result of that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The applications through the building department, the way that MPAT gathers that assessment is through those applications for those structures. So as those structures are currently being evaluated by the building department, without those permits forwarded to MPAT, there would be a loss of revenue to the municipality in that time frame. However, there's supplementary tax billings which can recover that. I have an estimate from the CBO with regards to estimated assessment value for those permits, and that would translate into approximately $1,000 annually should the tax rate be set at the municipal tax rate for a residential home in Amherstburg. Now that's the county and the school board portion altogether. The municipal portion would be approximately $550. But that will be rectified once the permits for the structures are dealt with through the proper channels.
And further to that, thank you, Justin. And further to that, will that go back to a 2-year mark? Or
It can go back up to 3 years, depending on the time of the structures. But the permits and all of that data will be forwarded to MPAT, and they will assess that, and we will levy taxes. Also, with regards to permit fees, the permit fees are double should they have not been applied for properly. So.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for allowing me to question them. So for these reasons, that's why I feel very, very strongly, along with my other constituents, that we cannot allow this request to proceed.
So, Your Worship, just for a point of clarification, I think some of the comments that I've heard from some of the presenters this evening, my concern is, and I think I need to make this perfectly clear to people, the owner of that property does have 24 dogs on that site right now. We do have a noise bylaw that's in place to address those concerns. Going forward, as people have stated in this meeting, without an amendment to the bylaw, an individual can have 50, 100 dogs on their property in the rural area, and there's nothing there that can stop that right now. The issue here is some of the things that the residents are concerned about are basically the municipality, without a zoning amendment, will have a difficult time in controlling what happens on that property. I would like to make it very clear to council and to members of the audience, without a zoning amendment, we cannot place that property under site plan control, which makes it very difficult for the municipality to control some of the ongoing issues. For example, as Ms. Symes has stated, a building that will be erected. If the individual comes to the town and says, I need a 7,300 square foot building for my own personal use, there's nothing that the town can do to stop that. I need to make that perfectly clear if it all falls within the zoning bylaw. I've confirmed that with the chief building official. That cannot be stopped. So I just want people to be clear. I understand what council may do this evening, but there's a number of things that will happen under personal use that we don't have control of.
Councilor Pucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Michelli. But the reason for tonight is that we want to stop this. Is they're asking for a variance, and they're asking for it to be the zoning to be changed so that they can put a 7,200 square foot building within 500 feet of the neighbor's property. That's what I'm trying to stop right now. Council can put all kinds of stipulations in place after we pass this bylaw, if we pass it tonight. And the reason that we can is because we can limit the number of dogs on agricultural property. I mean, why would you need 25 dogs on your property? so we can put a number of stipulations in place to protect and to make sure that it remains agricultural instead of selling dog food and all the other things and training dogs that they weren't supposed to be. That is the purpose of the denial for this request tonight.
Through your worship, Councillor Pouget. Councillor Pouget, that's assuming we were to change the zoning. If the individual continues to use the property for his own personal use, I do not think we will be able to do what you suggest.
Councillor Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And hearing that too, John, appreciate the comments. So if council right now does not support moving forward with the application, so Mr. Khalifa could build a building, could still have 25 dogs, could still be training them, doing whatever he's doing there, because they're under his own quote-unquote personal dogs, correct?
My position is yes.
So in order to, for the town, in order for the town to work with the residents that are surrounding the owner, and the owner, the only way is to put in a site plan control. If there's no other way, how is there any other way to protect the residents that are around there from what's going on there right now?
Through your worship, to Councillor Pryor, I will answer that, but we do have the planner as well. Site plan control only applies to commercial industrial zones. Am I correct, Rebecca?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, a couple of months ago, we amended the site plan control bylaw, and we brought in boarding facilities, boarding kennels, are now subject to site plan control as well.
For commercial or industrial, for commercial operation or on a regular agricultural property?
On an agricultural property where there is commercial activity going on, so the sale of dogs, breeding and sale of dogs would now be subject to site plan control.
If there's no sale of dogs, would it apply in this situation?
Where it is not for someone's personal use, site plan control would apply, I would suggest.
Yes. Not for personal.
It seems like we're at odds right now. How can we protect the residents and also allow for what's happening with the property right now? So personally, I agree with the residents. You built there for a reason, to be in a quiet area, to allow for, especially for some people where they built. I, for one, think that the operation right now, as it stands, needs to go through all the regulations, if there's any, and if there's anything that's outstanding, before I can approve anything. So right now I'd be on the side of not supporting it until I could see from IRCA or any other regulation that would say, yes, we can allow for this. So right now I'm saying I would support the motion by the Council of Project.
Councilor Walsh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Michelli said exactly what I was going to say, because I talked with Rebecca about that prior to the meeting, and that as an agricultural zone, he can have 50 dogs if he wants. And that raised a concern as to how this gets handled now. The neighbors are complaining about 25 dogs and excessive noise now, but we're opening up to a larger problem. I still think I would rather see a recommendation go back to administration to do some more work on the matter and come back to us at a later date on the issue. I don't think we're not going to solve the problem tonight. We're just going to create another one. So that's my comment.
Mark?
Through you, Mayor. I just want to step back for a moment and actually look at the report that is in front of you. It's exactly doing what Councillor Malas suggests. We didn't have a direction at the time to bring back a report. We normally do, as you've done many times before, have a planning meeting, give us that direction, we go away, we summarize the comments, and we bring back a fulsome report for Council's consideration. The reason the report is on the agenda tonight is because we need clarification, because at the last council meeting, that direction was not provided. So, yes, you can make either motion tonight, but where administration was that we didn't really have a direction to bring it back. We can bring it back at a future council meeting, summarize the comments, and that can be a fulsome debate. And based on the debate that we had at the last meeting, it would likely be its own meeting or scheduled in advance of the council meeting. And delegations can appear and all of the information in front of council. We just simply haven't had the time to do that because we needed to get this clarification from council as to what mode you wanted us to go to.
As a follow-up?
Yes. Part of the report to request, and I talked to Mr. Galvin within this past week about the first issue is determining whether or not, before we go through all of this, are those dogs legal or not legal? Can I carry? I think that's the first question we have to ask. I mean, he could move to a different breed of dogs if he wanted to continue, you know, but right now, to me, before we proceed, I'd like to have that answer.
Okay, Councilor Levine.
Thank you. I mean, we can continue to bring this back and talk about it for days and days and days, but I think administration should be really clear on what this council said. I don't need to sit through another meeting and have these residents tell me the same thing over and over. And yes, he can build this building, but if you're suggesting to me that anyone can come in, build a building, and do whatever they want, and we can't do anything about it, I disagree 110%, okay? Otherwise, why isn't it happening everywhere? The reality is, if he wants to build that building and use it as a farm, he's more than welcome to. The fact that he has been continually operating a kennel, and I can tell you the day after the last meeting, he posted an ad on Indeed that showed up on my website looking for someone to come work to help him with the next litter of dogs at his kennel as a working operative. So for him to stand here and say, no, I've ceased operations, and the next day looking for people to continue the operation, I'm having difficulty around this, okay? So I don't support it. It doesn't meet the bylaw. It's not within 2,000 feet. So, done. If he wants to continue on to the next level, that is his option. But as far as the breeding is concerned and the number of dogs, I will be bringing the motion forward to limit the number of dogs on agricultural property. Problem solved. There we go. And I'll also be introducing at a future meeting a field bylaw, so we don't have to deal with that again. Problem solved. We don't need to keep having these meetings to discuss this. We can solve these problems pretty simply. And as far as the breeds go, I've been speaking to members of reputable colleges and institutions and vets around the province who are all saying those are 100% illegal in the province of Ontario. I've spoken to members of Lakeshore who have said we had this issue and we made them remove those dogs. So I understand we're going through a process right now, but if those dogs fall into the provincial law, which we have no control over, the only control we do have is we have to enforce the provincial law. It's not my fault if those dogs are a breed that's banned in Ontario. I did not make that law. But we have to live by it to protect our residents. And that's that. So if it comes back and there's no proof that they are, and all these experts from the colleges are saying those are definitely breeds banned in Ontario, we had better get behind it and start enforcing those provincial laws in our municipality. Because I don't want to have this come back again and again, and then someone show up and say, somebody got injured by a dog that we were kind of iffy on. I don't want to deal with that ever in the future, and I don't want to deal with an issue like this again in the future. So let's get our bylaws in order. Let's prohibit somebody from having 1,000 dogs on a property next to residents and putting them through this, where we're asking them, just keep coming back, and we need site plan control. If he goes to the OMB and they say, okay, we're still going to have site plan control if he comes back and he gets approval from OMB, am I correct?
For you, Mr. Mayor, that is correct.
Okay, perfect. So to suggest we have to let him go ahead with this so we can get site plan control now is not true in my opinion. I don't agree with it, so I will vote no. That's it. I'm done with it. If he wants to continue the process, he is more than welcome to, and we'll deal with it at a future date.
Nicole?
I just want to clarify that there is an open investigation under DOLA. There are some complexities with the issue. I agree with Councillor Levine that everybody you speak to will give you different opinions on what breeds are prohibited. I just want to clarify that there is an open investigation.
Thank you. Okay, everybody has had an opportunity to speak. Is it a question?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you too. Mr. Galvin, you made the insinuation. insinuation that council wouldn't be dealing with this tonight. I agree with you on one issue. If Councilor Milosh had not made the motion just to receive it, and if we had denied it that night, we wouldn't be dealing with this tonight. And so that's what I'm asking this council to do.
Okay, that wasn't really a question, but all those in favor of the motion?
I'm asking for a recorded vote, please.
Mr. Mayor, just before the vote, just a clarification through the clerk. So last meeting, we just received the delegation for the application in front of us. So how did this, without a petition from council, come back as a reconsideration for council to be voting on this? So really, this issue should have never come back up to us. It should have been received only, and we should have died right there, like it did last meeting. This should have never come back to us, unless council did a reconsideration.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. No reconsideration is necessary at this point because the information was just received and there was no direction given. We were seeking direction with respect to whether the matter should be not supported.
So just not to dispute or get into across Mr. Mayor, but when somebody comes to us and requests $10,000, we receive the delegation, they can come back to us next week, and the week after. All we did was receive it. We didn't agree with them. And that's what the planning department. All we did was agree with the. All that we did was to agree to the report before in front of us, not to any to agree with the bylaw or not. It died right there.
I believe legally we had to make a decision one way or the other.
It, through you, Mayor, it didn't necessarily die right there because the parties have a right of appeal, whether that is the neighbor, the residents, or the applicant, and with a no decision. There's a 150-day waiting period. So when we were getting calls of what the status of the application was, we didn't have a status to give them. So there was a clarification needed. In terms of someone coming and delegating, people delegate every meeting, and some go through the clerk and some do not. So if someone wants to do, you always have that option to waive the rules and hear someone. You do it all the time, and it's fine. What we needed as administration was get some clarity. We didn't ask you to make a decision or not. We gave you the two options. The one was from the option that was the planning meeting, and the other one was if it was the intention for that to die, that was the option. That way we can give clarity in the process, promote transparency, and give every party an understanding of where that application stands.
So it should have been turned down last meeting if that it was the council's intention. So it did have to come back anyway.
So it should have been a reconsideration.
No. There was no action taken, so there was no reconsideration.
Okay. Reported vote has been requested. The motion on the floor is that the report from the Director of Planning, Development, and Legislative Services, dated July 30th, be received. And Council does not support the zoning bylaw amendment to bylaw 1999-52 pertaining to property 6136, Concession 6 North, part of Lot 2, Concession 5. Councillor Courtney.
Support.
Deputy Mayor DiPasquale.
Support.
Councillor Fryer.
Support.
Councillor Levine.
Support.
Councillor Milosh.
Support.
Councillor Puget.
Support.
Mayor DiCarlo.
Support.
Motion carries.
Okay, that brings us to item 5.2, Vanessa and Eric Jaber. Councillor Courtney?
Can I just ask one question?
Mm-hmm.
What happens now? Nothing?
I guess in what respect? The zoning application has been denied and the applicant has the opportunity to appeal. Councillor Puget?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. But in the meantime, the investigation will continue regarding the everything that we were concerned about and the persons and the other opponents.
Absolutely. Anything the town is still obligated to follow through with, we will continue to follow through with all of those items.
Thank you.
Okay, Vanessa and Eric?
Good evening, council, and I'm here, I'm representing my son and my daughter-in-law, because they had previous commitments, it was like 2 months ago, so what they're asking to do is they just would like, if it was all possible, to use, they'd like the blessing of their son Oliver to be blessed at the King's Navy Yard Park on Saturday, September 1st, starting between 12 and 12:30. All it is just gonna be like a 15-minute little ceremony, a blessing of their kid, it's nothing really religious. They wanted to see if it was available, they went to the Libro, they inquired, and then they realized, and they went online, and they realized they had to come and make a delegation to the committee, and there will probably only be about 20 people, it's not a ceremony, it's nothing religious, and if it was possible, they would like to use the gazebo for that period of time, knowing that there was a wedding in the vicinity around 3:30 to 5:30, we would be long gone out of there, as we're probably only gonna have about 20 people, but they know how nice the Navy Yard Park is, they've taken pictures there in the past, and they just wanna bless their child as a way into, you know, just a blessing, and do that, and they didn't know if they could just go there and just do it, and they just wanted to come before council to ask that question, if it was possible.
I just gonna ask Nicole to provide some clarification.
Through you, Mayor DiCarlo, we've had requests similar to this in the past for religious celebrations. Section 5 of 2002-72, the Parks Bylaw, does state that it would require council permission to be able to grant this.
Council Pryor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to receive the delegation and give approval for the 12:30 celebration.
Second, Council Pouche. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carry.
Thank you, council. If there's a fee or whatever to be charged for the gazebo, they're willing to pay whatever it is for the time slot.
Okay. So just contact the Libro, and you should be able to work out any time issues at that time.
Thanks.
Okay. That brings us to 7.1, the development charges deferral agreements. Councilor Craig?
I move to waive the rules of order to allow Mr. Norbert to speak on the issue.
Okay, second, Councilor Levine. All those in favor? Carry. Mr. Bolger?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. I found out about this a little bit late last time, so I think it was deferred for this meeting, and I appreciate that. We're just looking to continue the bylaw development deferral, or development charge deferral bylaw, as we did last time, or the last few years. What it does, it just basically defers the charge that we pay on every home, which is approximately $12,700. Be paid on closing instead of up front. There's been some recommendations from the last meeting, I believe they're looking for some of the three recommendations are 100% letter of credit provided by the applicant, which would be the builder. The problem with that is when you're providing a letter of credit, it basically takes away from your ability to borrow, which is the same as paying your charge. That was never part of it before. The other thing would be to charge interest, which is not a bad idea as a business for the town, but it gets complicated with how many days and everything else, so we have a solution for that. And then a processing fee they're asking for, and I believe it was $100, which we're not opposed to. A simple lawyers, there's a processing fee for us, legal fees, the town has to deal with it. One way to do it would be a letter of direction, which we've done this many times with banks, where basically the lawyer does up a letter, this one would be to the town for the amount specified, which again, approximately $12,700, depending on each house, directed to the town, which basically says the lawyer will direct funds directly to the town on closing. It saves a lot of legal fees, processing fees, everything else. And if we did that with a administration fee added on, say, you guys recommended $100 last time to the town, because it's very simple, there's not much to do after that. I think that'd be a simple solution. Some of the comments that the town was concerned about, or the administration was concerned about in the, I'll be honest, I'm not sure who wrote this, but was worried about the town being risked. I believe it's been brought up before, there's never been anybody who's not paid the deferral charges. If for any reason something happened to the builder or the project, it would go onto your taxes, so that would always be recovered. But with a letter of direction done immediately, which takes about a day, instead of registering it with the lawyers, even though the lawyer does it, but they can do a letter of direction in a day. It's pretty simple. You will get paid on closing. So no funds will not leave the lawyers without going to your place, so no builder will get it. So it actually helps quite a bit. In this, it states that there is about $805,000 of deferred PC charges beginning of the year. I believe, rough estimates, about 380 of that was with the apartment building going up here, which that's kind of a one-off thing that doesn't happen very often, unfortunately. So that amount is kind of high compared to probably what normally the town is carrying. There's another about $238,000, which came from our company, because at the time in spring we put in a lot of permits and we deferred those charges. So that's about $620,000 altogether. So probably the average carrying cost is only a couple hundred thousand at the time. So the 800, even though it's currently that amount, is not normal.
Okay, so to simplify this, I guess if we went with option B, it would continue the waiving of the development charges, and you sound amenable to talk to administration about finalizing terms if it continues.
Yep, if we can do that, and like I said, what I'm suggesting, letter of direction, obviously you have to pass it through your legal department, but I think it's a very simple, probably simpler than what we've been doing, solution. And it helps us. People don't understand that. Even a month ago, I was out in the subdivision and people asked me, oh, so when is the town going to finish paving the streets and doing this and doing that? And I just kind of laughed. I said, they don't do that. We do all that. So they're still under the impression that the town puts in all this infrastructure and we just go there, build, and make a ton of money. But we actually have to put in not only all that stuff, but building the house, and we don't get paid until closing except for a deposit, a small deposit from the homeowner. So this, working with the town as a partnership, I call it, we're coming in to build. Other people, like Ron does quite a bit of work in the North End. It just really helps us to continue what we're doing.
Through your worship, to Norbert, just for administration's purposes, so point of clarification, is it with regards to you want to continue with the registration on the property, or are you suggesting a letter of direction and not going with the registration on the
I'm suggesting doing a letter of direction just to simplify it. But if council says, let's just keep doing it the way we're doing it, I'm fine with that as well. I'm just trying to make it simpler with less administration charges and charges for us with the lawyers. Even though they're still charged with the lawyer to letter, it's so much simpler.
So there's two issues that, and the other outstanding issue was our recommendation, our administrative recommendation was to continue with the security, which is the registration and interest. Your position is, just so I understand this clearly, is that you would like to have a letter of direction and you would like us to not charge interest, but just an admin fee of $100 is what you're willing to accept.
Right. With 6 months interest, which normally a house goes for 3 to 4 months, unless it doesn't have to sell, which lately it hasn't been a problem. At the current interest rate, you're talking about 3.7%. Do was what I was told by administration, 6 months is $234. So even if we did administer, just trying to make it simple, because calculating the interest is fairly simple, but a lot of times administration lawyers complicate it, takes a lot longer. So even a $150 administration fee, which would cover the interest, because the, again, the administration to do it is very, very simple.
So for a point of clarification, just, so you're amenable to an administrative charge, and we would negotiate that and forgive the interest component. So you're suggesting, we were suggesting 100, you're suggesting 150. We might come to an agreement at 250 blanket, and that's something that the group would be amenable to. Is that what you're suggesting?
Right, or 150.
I'm here to protect the town, Margaret.
This all gets passed on to the customers eventually. Just
well, it's a
Councilor Frank.
So John, in the, or through you to the CAO, John, if option B, we continue with those previously outlined, agreed upon deferral charges until December 31st, come back with a whole new report, start brand new, the year brand new, and then move forward with the new council on how you want to, and then the developers can be brought in. So basically, keep it the same until the end of the year, no changes.
If that's what count, that's the will of council.
And if I can, I'll make a motion on to that effect if I need to. If there's any other questions.
Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That was my motion last week, and I lost it. I just want to ask for clarification regarding the difference between a letter of direction and the letter of credit, 100% letter of credit. So Norbert spoke about the letter of direction, but I just need to know the difference between what Mr. Galvin is recommending and what Mr. Norbert is recommending.
Through you, Mayor, I'm not as familiar with the letter of direction. I have a little bit of knowledge of it. Obviously, the letter of credit is what we normally do. It's the funder and the accountant, and I take the Norbert's point in terms of reserving that money in terms of the cash flow situation. I'd have to look a little bit more at the letter of direction and legal status. I know it's certainly the Law Society of Upper Canada, or the Law Society of, now the Law Society of Ontario, does have a section on there about using letters of direction. I haven't seen it used in this context before, but I'm not a developer either, so it's something we'd have to look at.
Councilor Malone?
I've used letters of direction before, and it's nothing but the Mr. Norbert issuing a letter through the lawyer to the town that directs funds to be paid on the sale of the property. Letters of credit are issued by the bank. You have to have the money in the bank in order, or some security to, for the bank to issue a letter of credit sometimes, so that it's secure, we're secure. Letter of direction has a little less security to it. That, would you agree with me?
Yes, except it does have a little, the cash is in there, but it comes in on closing. So as long as the consumer pays us, you get paid. But I would agree to extending this the way it is till December 31st, and if we can meet with administration to kind of hammer out the details for next year, that would be great. Because I think this one tried to slide past us without any developers knowing.
I take offense to that, Norbert, but having been a former developer, I can say to you that I can appreciate your position. The administrative responsibility, though, is to protect the town, and yours is to maximize profits. So at the end of the day, I can appreciate why you want a letter of direction. I understand that, but from an administrative perspective, I hope you can appreciate why we wouldn't recommend that.
Well, I think once it passes through lawyers, they might, you know. But again, we have something for discussion. We can discuss that later on.
Okay, Councilor Pryor.
Motion to receive the report. Direction be provided as follows. Option B, the practice of offering development charges deferral agreements be continued in the until previously outlined agreements ending December 31st, 2018.
And the administration be directed to report back?
Administration be directed to report back after the election for the new council to look at new deferral or no deferral charges.
Thank you. Second? Councilor Puget and questions? Counselor Pujo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to our clerk, Paula. Do we need to have reconsideration about this? Because I did try to get that passed at our last meeting, and I'm not sure where it went. Did we?
We deferred.
No, I know, but I had originally had a motion on the floor.
Motion to defer supersedes any motion on the floor. Is that?
Just so you want us to be challenged if we had a motion such as that minute.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. With respect to the last meeting, the only thing in the minutes is a direction that the CAB report be brought back to the August 13th meeting with options regarding the development charges and invite the developers to attend. So any other motions that were brought forward were not actioned.
Okay.
Yeah, the court vote too, please.
Sure.
For council's consideration is that the report from the Director of Corporate Services and the Director of Planning, Development, and Legislative Services dated July 25th regarding development charges deferral agreements be received and direction be provided as follows. The practice of offering development charges deferral agreements be continued until December 31st of 2018 and administration be directed to report back after the election on development charges or the deferral of development charges. Councilor Courtney.
Can I just ask a question on the motion? Okay, in the wording of the motion, you're saying the council bring back a report after the election. The election is October 22nd, but we are saying in the motion that everything will continue status quo until December 31st.
We're still here till December.
Correct, but we would hopefully have some action to address after December 31st. So if we wait till after December 31st, it would just continue until we finally address it. So.
Support.
Deputy Mayor Dipasquale?
Support.
Councilor Pryor?
Support.
Councilor Levine?
Support.
Councilor Meloche?
Support.
Councilor Pujo?
Support.
Mayor DiCarlo?
Support.
Motion carries.
That brings us to item 10.1, the encroachment request for 1644 Park Ave. Councilor Levine?
I'll move the recommendation as is.
Second, Councilor Meloche. Is there any questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And then 10.2, Councilor Pryor?
I move the motion as presented.
And second, Councilor Meloche. Any questions? Councilor Levine.
In light of the letter that we just received before the meeting, I'm going to move deferral until the appeal of the official plan designation of the zoning bylaw amendment have been heard and decided by LPAT on the 16th.
I'll support that motion.
Okay. Motion to defer and second by Councilor Pujo. Motion defer is not discussable or debatable, and so the motion has to be addressed. All those in favor?
They get a recorded vote?
Sure.
You're stopping it at all?
No, we're not.
Yes, you are.
crosstalk, please. Counselor Levine, could you pre-read?
Yep. Move for deferral until the matter is heard at the appeal designation and decided by LPAT. I believe they have till the 16th to file.
Counselor Courtney?
Support.
Deputy Mayor DePasquale?
Support.
Counselor Fryer?
Opposed.
Counselor Levine?
Support.
Counselor Melange?
Support.
Counselor Pujay?
Support.
Mayor DiCarlo?
Opposed.
Motion carries.
Do I get to speak? Do I get to say anything? Because I'm walking.
I understand the issue has been dealt with counsel. The only way you can speak.
I have to tell you, it's over. I'm afraid it's not coming back. But thank you. It's not coming back.
That brings us to item 10.3. Verification on the statutory, oh sorry, dealt with that. Mm-hmm. 10.4, the Parks Master Plan, draft for approval. Councilor Courtney? Moved, second. Councilor Levine, Councilor Melange.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was concerned about this Parks Master Plan. Number one, page 128, which identifies our parks, leaves the second largest one up in limbo, which is the Coan Park. It's identified there, but if you go through and look at the Hall report, Coan Park virtually doesn't exist in our master plan, which concerns me since everybody knows we own 50% of Coan Park. Amherstburg owns 50% and the residents own 50% of Coan Park. Yet, when you look at this master plan and what was done, a lot of things were just totally ignored about that park. Page 137, which deals with issues 146, 148, just all everything, the Coan's excluded from it all. The page 112 talks about usage. That park is used tremendously more than what's shown on that report. When you consider baseball, soccer, kids' playground, the tennis courts, the museum, the mayor and I were at that museum on Sunday. It's not just an athletic park, it's a cultural park as well when you take into account the Essex Steam and Engine Museum that's within that park. So I just think that this report is a bit inadequate when it doesn't address the number two side, the number two park in our municipality. So I don't know what the administration or who can respond to, but I'd like to hear from somebody on the matter.
Through your worship, I can respond on that matter. With regards to the Parks Master Plan, this is guiding principles going forward on what we would do with our parks. It recommends that there's a number of recommendations. There's a total of, if I go back and see, there's a total of 77 recommendations plus the recommendations that were altered and added through the public consultation process. They are very clear. Number 74, which is recommendation 74, examine all options relative to the town's ongoing management and financial commitments to Coan Park. Renegotiation of the terms and municipal commitment is anticipated. So that was one of the recommendations of the report. That still has to come back. So for council's perspective, as it relates to Coan Park, we need to come back and deal with that because the park proper does not lie within the town. The management of it is co-shared through a board, and these are all relationships that, as a municipality, we don't have the control that we may want to have. And I think we've discussed this in the past, Councilor Melange. So what it, basically the plan is saying is bring something back to council as it relates to Colin Park.
Well, I mean, as a master plan, to just say, well, we'll come back and we'll look at renegotiating, I mean, I would think that would have been done ahead of time to say as to what the future plan is. You know, we have a number of different shared services or contracts with other, we'll say, groups with respect. So Colin Park just falls into the norm of doing business in this town now. I mean, we have other, I mean, we have agreements with LaSalle with respect to Kirkconard Park. So I just think that somewhere, you know, there was a poor job done, if I can use that word, with respect to all of our parks. I don't even know if was anybody from Coan Park board or a group talked to regarding this. We talk about usage, because if they'd have talked to somebody about usage, you'd have seen a lot more than just, it's a baseball diamond. It's more than just a baseball diamond, or what you refer to as athletic field in the report. Not you, but it's referred to as athletic field, and it's more than just an athletic field.
Through your worship, Councilor Walsh, I believe through the public consultation process, Coan Park was identified as a highly used park. That process was undertaken. There was discussions that did happen with the various groups. I guess with regards to the recommendations that are provided, and that's what I hang my hat on with regards to the park's master plan, it is general statements that are made within this within this document that talk about, for example, if we go through on page it's page 180 of your agenda, but a number of the recommendations were general recommendations, not specific to parks. The only specificity in regards to parks came with adding amenities at specific locations. So for example, the loss of the Four Diamonds at Centennial Park, we talked about that. But as it relates to overall parks master plans, we're treating all of the parks with a general statement, not specifically Coan or any other park.
Well, I mean, one area you talk about in the report talks about tennis courts, but guess what? Coan Park's not even mentioned. You know, they mentioned the tennis courts at Anderton, mentioned the tennis courts at Malden, didn't mention the tennis courts at Coan Park. There's all kinds of holes in that report with respect to a major park of ours. And not because I live in McGregor, it's a park that many people use. The town here just played in a big tournament there, and a lot of employees. And so it's a park that's used by many people for many of them. So, and the other comment I want to keep going on this is the comments that's made on page 110, which almost all surveys respondents were permanent residents of the town of Amherstburg, 98%. Among those, just three-fifths identified as living in Amherstburg proper, 62, with another one-fifth from Anderton, and the remaining from Malden. I've worked hard over the last 4 years to not distinguish, like one class and another class. The Anderton and Malden names should have dropped off a long time ago, and talk about maybe refer to them as the rural residents of Amherstburg or the rural section, not the group from Anderton or the group from Malden. I just think the choice of words just, again, alienates, you know, some of the residents from the, you know, the Anderton days or Aunt Malden. So again, those kind of things just, the report lacks a number of issues, I find, with respect to looking at all the parks on a unbiased, let's say, approach. I'm not gonna sit and argue that we need to focus on the core, because growth is gonna be in the core in the next few years, but I think we have to also look at what I was gonna say, the maintenance, okay, because there's a core group of people in the rural area that do use that park.
Through your worship, to Councilor Walsh, I guess, Councilor Walsh, from a municipal perspective, there was extensive consultation done on this master plan. We went to the Parks Committee. The Parks Committee reviewed the plan. We've had a number of public meetings with regards to this Parks master plan. I'm sorry that you feel that we have not, or the consultant has not done the public consultation as it relates to this, but I would beg to disagree with you. I would suggest to you that there was significant public consultation. I would suggest that the management of Coann Park, council has delegated that authority to a committee, unlike all of the other parks. The other parks fall under council's direct supervision, where Coann Park has been delegated. That's the difference.
My problem is I think it's being washed because it's being delegated out. And it's, you know, when it runs well.
But that is the reason for recommendation number 74. We need to examine that. And I think including that in the Parks Master Plan should help you address it at a future point in time.
Okay.
Councilor Pryor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So there is a motion on the floor. So there is residents that want to speak on it. But John, through you, Mr. Mayor, to John, relation to Duffy's and the hot topic of boat ramp, no bump ramp, what the amphitheater, no amphitheater, what, you know, the public consultation that we had on that, how does that affect this report in moving forward? Because there is still people out there that want certain aspects brought into that, especially that development. How's this gonna alter from the Duffy's property?
Through your worship, Councilor Flyer, we had an environmental assessment meeting last week. There is still a significant amount of public consultation, but I will suggest to council that recommendation number 3, that's included in the report, that states evaluate all potential vital opportunities to strengthen public access to the waterfront. We are doing just that with the development. We're trying to strengthen the access to the waterfront with the goal of providing connective and high quality public space for events, heritage appreciation, passive use, and compatible recreation activities that enhance the town's sense of place and appeal for residents and tourists. The Duffy's development does just that, and the public consultation that is going forward continues to do that.
Okay, because not only boating, but you also have kayakers, the newest people that have no access to the water municipally. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at people that want to fish, that want to just go out on a boat with their families, we are one of the probably the longest stretch of coastal waters in Essex County that municipally we have no access.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be noted on every report in bold letters, we have no access.
Okay, is there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Brings us to item 12, the information reports. Councilor Pryor?
I'll move items 12.1 to 12.3 be adopted. So received.
Second, Councilor Levine. Motion to receive. All those in favor? Carried. And any items? No, there's nothing there. Okay. Councilor Pooja?
On 12.3, regarding the transportation feasibility study, I think it's recommended that we support it. Do we need a motion for that? Because it was obvious that the grant was denied. So do we need to make a recommendation to have a feasibility study in order to be able to try and obtain grants again?
Mm-hmm. Through your worship, we will be including in the 2019 budget the cost for a feasibility study to be included. So that administration will be bringing forward the 2019 municipal budget.
Okay, that brings us to item 13, consent correspondence. Councilor Courtney?
Move items 13.1 through 13.3.
And second, Deputy Mayor. And received, all those in favor? Carried. And any items there? Deputy Mayor?
Well, speak to 13.2.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just want to put this out to council. It's being kind of supported through Essex County most of the people that have been involved in this. It's called the Veterans Voices of Canada Flags of Remembrance. I don't know if anybody in here has ever heard of that. Okay, it's quite popular, and it's very nice to you know, kind of show off our people that fought in the military and came back, and they tried to live a normal life. So what I'm just putting out is in Assumption Park in Windsor, September 22nd of this year, November 12th of 2018, opening ceremonies begin at 1:15 p.m. on September 22nd. And there's some other information on here if you're interested. But there will be a number of people coming, and also there's numerous flags that will be unrolled, which is apparently quite it's quite something watching these things happen. Okay, and Assumption Park, the 22nd, if you want to keep that, and it'll be quite good for your children or older people that have been through different types of scuffles and wars over the years. So, and I know most of the county have brought forth $1,000 per community to put this all these flags up, and inviting the people to come and watch it. I guess it's very, very, very good. So if you want to go, that's the date, and you're quite welcome to go. And just a little bit further, Mr. CAO, we're looking at $1,000 compared to the other communities. Most of them have donated already. $1,000 for different communities like Essex and other places. So if you want to put your own money in, you can have your children buy a plaque. They give out plaques, and they have you put them out that day if anybody's interested. Thank you.
Okay, how about if I take that as a motion to donate $1,000? For a plaque on behalf of the town. Second, Councilor Cryer. Any questions or comments on it? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. Any of the other items anyone wants to discuss there? Okay. And that brings us to consent of the minutes. Item 15. Councilor Levine.
Move to see.
Second, Councilor Milosh. All those in favor? Carried. 16.1, Drainage Board Meeting Minutes. Councilor Fry.
Move the report.
Second. Councilor Milosh. All those in favor? Carried. Unfinished business items. Any unfinished business items to be addressed? Okay. Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to check on one resolution at the bottom of 288. There was a delegation received and the request for exemption to bylaw 2004-89 for accessible space outside the designated fishing area at King's Aviary be approved for August 22nd, 2017. I guess I want to know, it's under unfinished business. Did that never go through?
Through you, Mayor DiCarlo, that motion was passed and the event was granted for that date. The further to that, the motion was to look at granting an accessible fishing pier in King's Navy Yard Park. That was deferred into the Parks Master Plan.
Excuse me. Okay, Councilor Carlin. Council Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So council and the public and everybody else knows about the policing decision. I'm wondering when that report's going to come back to council, so it will actually be official in our minutes that the decision was made on that. Because that's an outstanding issue, right?
Through your worship to Council Pryor, I would suggest you 90% complete the policing. contract. We did receive the approval from the OCPC. I anticipate the policing contract being finalized within the next week or so. We do have a meeting that we have to have with the Amherstburg Police Services Board with regards to offers that have been made to the current employees. We're having that next week, I believe, and shortly thereafter, we should be able to finalize the contract and bring that back to council. So I would imagine early September, we'll be bringing it back.
Any other unfinished business? Okay, any new business? Okay, reportant, is there a reportant?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On June the 25th, council met for a special in-camera meeting at 3:40 p.m. and 7:11 p.m. and discussed five items as provided for under section 239 of the Municipal Act. Item A was an update on Ontario Municipal Board hearing Bobo developments heard under sections 239-2E and F of the Act, and there is nothing further to report on that matter. Item B was confidentiality heard under section 239-3.1 of the Act, and there is nothing further to report on that matter. Item C was Bellevue fundraising heard under sections 239-2B and J of the Act, and nothing further to report on that matter. Item D was police contract negotiations heard under section 239-2K of the Act, and there is nothing further to report on that matter. Item E was an update on council report 2018-0423-C heard under section 239-2C of the Act, and there is nothing further to report on that matter.
Okay, that brings us to 21.1, the confirmed pillars bylaw. Mover, Councilor Melange, second. Councilor Fryer, second. All those in favor? Carried. And the in-camera, and someone move Councilor Levine.
I move Council moving to in-camera meeting, directed following this regular session pursuant to section 239 of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended for the following reason. Item A, portion of 7860 County Road 20, Malden Firefighters Association, section 239-2C, a proposed pending acquisition and disposition of land by the municipality or local board.
Thank you. Second. Councilor Melange, all those in favor? Carried. We can go in camera. Motion to resume. Councilor Levine, Deputy Mayor, all those in favor? Carried. And Madam Clerk, if you want to read the motion.
Thank you, Your Worship. Council met at 7:51 p.m. today to discuss item A, portion of 7860 County Road 20 to Malden Firefighter Association, heard under section 239-2C of the Act. As a result of that discussion, the following motion is before council. That the sale of the portion of, I'm going to do it again, the sale of the portion of the property at 7860 County Road 20 to the Malden Firefighter Association be approved under the following terms and conditions. An approximate 3,097 square meters parcel located on the south side of County Road 20 and the west side of the improved property known municipally as 7860 County Road 20, with a frontage of 30.65 meters, a depth of 101 meters, and described legally as part of Lot 66, Concession 7, and more particularly as Part 1 of Draft Plan 12R Plan C-4492, be sold to the Malden Firefighters Association for the sale price of $1, subject to the terms and conditions set out in the confidential report. That exemptions to Articles 6.5, 6.10, and 6.13 of the town's disposition of surplus property policy be approved. That the direction per council resolution of 2018-0122-14 to undertake a request for proposal process be rescinded for the disposition of Part 2 of Draft Plan 12R, Plan C-4492. That the remaining 1.025 hectare parcel of Part 2 on Draft Plan 12R, Plan C-4492, upon which the former Little White Church is located, be listed for sale on an as-is basis on the multiple listing system, MLS, subject to receipt of an AACI independent property appraisal, and subject to terms and conditions in the MLS listing indicating the future use of the site will be considered in making the final decision on the successful purchaser, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign all documents necessary to complete the transaction prepared in form and content satisfactory to the Director of Planning, Development, and Legislative Services, and in financial content to the Director of Corporate Services or designate, and the transaction be completed electronically.
Okay, mover Councillor Milosh, second Councillor Levine, and
question.
Yes.
Should we not disclose to the public how we're securing our position with the sale? I'll say it that way. So that
through your worship, should council wish to do so, we can. It is referred to in the report. On page 4 of 8 of the report, all of the conditions that we have to protect the town with regards to this property, if council so wishes, we can include it in the recommendation. That's what
I mean, I think we should, because we're selling it for a dollar, and therefore at least, you know, it comes with those conditions that they understand. It'd be different if we were selling it for full market value.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
So, okay, friendly amendment, Councilor Levine.
I guess, would that open up other organizations that might be interested, saying, why didn't we get a...
Through your worship, that's why we removed it out of the recommendation
okay.
in the first place.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what was that?
Through your worship, to Councilor Milosh, we did not want to advertise the terms and conditions that we had for first right to refusals, just to keep that confidential. That was a discussion that I had with the Madam Clerk on what we should do to keep the terms and conditions as confidential as possible.
So is it your recommendation that we don't? Is that what you're telling me?
That is correct, that we don't include
okay.
it in the
okay.
recommendation.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Okay, motion as it stands. Councilor Cluger?
I was just gonna ask if we could include it just to advertise, even for 1 week, in the RTT, the sale of the other part of the property. Just because one person was very, very involved in it, and I know that he would never check the other type of listing, but I think he would not have any objection if he knew that we were advertising it according to what like his belief is.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. You okay with that, Councilor Lynch? Yes. Okay. Now, before we vote, I just realized there was no disclosure of pecuniary interest on this item. Okay, good. And all those in favor? Carried. And motion to adjourn. Councilor Courtney, Councilor Levine, all those in favor? Carried.
Thank you.